Hey guys, this is Lisa
and Rebecca,
and we are here on The Secret Life of Weddings.
If you like drama, you're in the right place,
where we tell you the world's craziest but true wedding stories. So get ready for the drama on The Secret Life of Weddings. Everybody, it's Lisa
and Rebecca
here for episode 119 of the Secret Life of Weddings podcast. I am well lubricated with oil and it's late at night. Oil. Wow.
Choo-choo.
I am well lubricated with wine. I just said I was well lubricated with oil. Did you hear that?
Okay.
This is going to go great.
Little lube never hurts anybody.
Everything is fine. I'm not re-recording this. It's too late. Okay.
Everything is fine. All right.
Let's do in the news.
Ronan Farrow is moving on to a new chapter thanks to a question written in the pages of his recently released book. The Pulitzer Prize winning journalist is engaged after asking Pod Save America co-host John Lovett to marry him in a draft of Catch and Kill, released on Tuesday. It had been a long year for me and for us, but we hung in there, Farrow writes in his book. Later, when I decided some of that reporting would make its way into a book, I'd send him a draft and put in a question right on this page. Marriage? ? On the moon or even here on Earth?
Aww.
He read the draft, Farrow continues, and found the proposal here and said, sure. On Monday's episode of Pod Save America, Farrow expressed how much Lovett's encouragement meant.
Aww.
Right? Isn't that so sweet? I love it.
I'm all Twitter-pated. This might be drunk Lisa question, but seriously, John Lovett, this is not the person I think it is it?
No.
Okay, just to clarify.
But I love the name.
You know who I'm thinking of, right? The comedian?
Yes.
I'm like, yes. All I could picture is John Lovett is apparently now a gay engaged man. And I didn't think he was gay. So I'm confused by that. And then I'm like, he's a host of a podcast. I didn't know.
And he's much younger.
Okay. I was going to say, this sounds like a very young person. So
yes, yes.
So just to clarify, yes, there's a different person named John Lovett who's not a middle-aged comedian.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that clarification. I do. Congratulations to these people. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's a super cute way to propose to.
I love it. Oh my gosh.
So adorable. We are going to jump head first into the fuck it bucket, one of your favorite parts of this podcast, because we love shitting on things. That's just something we do.
Yes.
It's really, I mean, we've been practicing for many years, Rebecca and I.
Yep.
So let's put inviting people I didn't really want to invite to my wedding into the fuck it bucket this week. What do you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
This needs to go in the fuck it bucket. Because I'm getting tired of reading it in wedding groups.
I'm getting tired of y'all complaining about it is what I'm getting tired of.
Yeah.
Listen.
It's ongoing. It's too much.
It's your wedding. And I get that, like, your parents are paying for a bit of it or this or that. Or even they're paying for the whole thing. I mean, there's, like, a variety of arrangements out there. I think what you have to do is be cognizant of the fact that it's your day.
Yes.
Right. It's your wedding. You need to have the people there that mean the most to you. It's not a free for all. You don't need to make it one. And give your parents a set guest list. It will make them happy. And everybody will feel loved and, happy. Just give them a set list and then they can invite whoever they want in those numbers.
Yes. I think the day goes by so quickly for couples. Mm-hmm. It really does. I know I don't remember mine. Like, I really don't.
Barely.
Yeah. It just goes by so quick because so much is going on. And, you know, to look back and think, oh, I didn't even know half the people there. It kind of sucks.
Let alone see them.
Yeah. Or even if you spend time seeing them, you're going around spending time and thanking and talking to people. And it's so much obligation that I think people need to cut it out.
Agreed. Totally. Yeah. I mean, they just cost you money. You know, if there's too many people, you don't even get to interact with them all. And they usually don't bring a nice gift to make up for it. Am I right?
Yeah. That was one of the things I saw. I put that in there from Reddit. It made me laugh. I was like, this is brilliant.
It's so funny. But, we kid. But the point is, it's not about the gifts. It's just about your time, right? It's a finite thing you have on your wedding day.
Yep.
Make your intentions good. Make choices that will add to the day, not take away from the day.
Yeah. And don't feel guilty. Y'all, do not feel guilty.
No.
Don't let anybody make you feel guilty. At the end of it all, it's not going to matter. It's not going to be that big of a deal.
Especially like your sister's, brother's, cousin's, ex-boss's secretary who guilted you for an invitation. Like, fuck Cheryl.
Doris.
Listen.
Doris.
No, Cheryl. Cheryl wasn't there for you. You don't get to be there for Cheryl. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's enough.
All right. So we're good with that?
We are good.
All right.
And that's all I've got to say about that.
That's all you got. Our first story is from a listener named Kate. We're giving her the name Kate.
Hi, Kate.
Or she gave herself the name Kate.
I was going to say, does she know who I'm talking to if she's not named Kate?
Yes. I was at my friend's wedding a few years ago, and the reception was in a fancy art gallery. The bride and groom are both lawyers, and there was a lot of alcohol, which was great.
Yeah.
I was utterly hammered at the end of the night and was standing in front of this really pretty photograph of a horse. The gallery owner came over for a chat and we started chatting about art. I was bullshitting at top speed, not being an art person. I love that, bullshitting at top speed. I remember that.
Yeah.
I was trying to make intelligent comments about the composition and the focus and probably sounded like a complete moron. The owner asks if I like horses, and I said yes. I rode as a teenager, so he motions for me to follow him to his office, and I do so. We're in the middle of a wedding reception, after all. When we get to his office, he pulls out his phone and shows me over 100 images of HD photos of explicit horse porn.
This did not happen.
Yes.
This did
literal photos of erect horse dicks, horses being mounted by other horses, an action shot of a horse coming.
I've seen a lot of things in life, but I've never seen that.
Me either. Me either. And I've been down some rabbit holes.
You ever just keep clicking on the internet and you're just like, did not mean to see that.
Yeah. I get out of there ASAP. I find the friend I came to the wedding with and we go to the bar to get another drink and laugh off the experience. The owner of the gallery beats us to the bar though, and the bartender cuts us off for the night. So we leave.
They'll be like, and no, you don't get to cut us off. Do you know what we just had to see?
And horse porn guy becomes legend in our friend group, though we never tell the bride.
Probably a good decision.
Amazing. That's amazing.
I want to like photograph.
That is my favorite story of 2019.
I think it might be. I want to photograph this, like screen cap it and put it on my phone as wallpaper. Right? Oh, Kate, thank you.
We're telling everybody this story.
I am just next time we just did an interview on a great show called Scam Wow. And we'll totally post the link, but we're going to be guests on their show soon. I have no idea what date because I didn't ask. But the point is, we talked all about wedding scams and stuff we've seen over the years. But
yeah,
the next time we do an interview, I don't care if it's warranted or not. I'm talking about horse porn guy.
Yeah.
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 It's happening.
I think it.
You're going to deal with it.
I think we need to make a little special advertisement for this episode with a horse in it.
Rebecca, let's record it. Let's record it right now. Okay, ready? Hey there, podcast fans. Do you like horses?
I do.
Do you like porn?
Yeah.
Well, wait till I tell you what our latest podcast episode is about. Check out The Secret Life of Weddings, available everywhere you get quality podcasts about horses and porn.
Come on over.
Oh my God, this is so not the story I needed to watch after I had like three glasses of wine. Okay, take it down a notch, Lisa. Okay. Do we?
We have a new saga.
We have a saga. I was just about to say.
Oh, baby.
I see the word saga and I got a little excited here. Oh, dear. Now, this one, this is special. This is called The Canadian Wedding Saga.
And I can't take credit for the title because that's the title they gave me.
Really?
And I went with it.
Like they emailed us with this.
Yes.
Holy cow.
I love it.
All right. The Canadian Wedding Saga, part one. My family and I are from a small island nation in the Pacific. I left to study in Australia for a while, but came home after I graduated. Back in the 70s, my dad's oldest brother, Jeff, moved to Canada and married a Canadian woman called Rachel. Jeff's so laid back, he's basically horizontal.
I laughed so hard when I read this.
That's great.
Oh my God.
Rachel is like a lot like Kitty, the mom from that 70s show, who I adore.
I love.
But more hyper, if that's possible. Christian and a horse person. Okay.
Did she go to the other wedding?
Listen. Do I have a feeling about... Is this a theme episode, Rebecca?
No, it's okay. Not. Okay. It's not.
Just coincidence, guys. They have three kids, Scott, Brandon, and Jess. Jess is the closest in age to me, and both of our families are pretty close. We make the trip to see each other fairly frequently. Brandon came to live with us for a while as a teenager to attend his dad's old school, and I went to live with them for a while to attend their local school. Since our families are so close, when Brandon got married back in 2007, my parents and I made the trek to Canada for the wedding. The wedding was lovely. His bride, Erica, is the sweetest. And only two things really stood out as being slow worthy. Love that. Number one, at the end of the ceremony, before Brandon and Erica did their recessional, the venue owner grabbed the mic and ran through a list of rules for the venue, which included the instruction not to use the decorative pond as a toilet. Charming. That's great.
I love that was part of the list.
Please don't shit in the pond. The koi really get irritated.
They get bloated.
Yeah. They'll eat it. Number two, because Brandon and Erica's wedding was a week before my finals at uni, my trip to Canada was ridiculously short. I flew in the night before the wedding and left the morning after the wedding. That sucks balls.
Yikes.
That leaves no room for even like 10% of a wedding hangover.
Yeah.
My turnaround was so fast. I had the same crew on the airplane there and back. Wow. Oh,
that's funny.
That's insanity. As it turns out, flying into and out of Canada from the South Pacific within 36 hours sends up a lot of red flags. They're checking her ass for cocaine, you know. I was interrogated at gunpoint by an American immigration guard. Our police don't even carry guns, so that was a shock. Where is she from? Holy hell. Australia or no, South Pacific. She was actually coming in from the South Pacific.
Yeah.
Wow. So she was really traveling. Because we don't, you know, no, our guys carry guns. It's the British that don't. I got confused for a minute there. Our police don't even carry guns. So that was a shock. And when I made it home, our immigration officers put me in an interrogation room and asked if I had any physical proof I had been at a wedding.
Holy crap.
Whoa. This is like my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
This was before cameras on cell phones were standard. And all I had with me was one of those little windy wheel disposable cameras. They declined to get it processed for me.
Oh, my God.
It was 5 a.m. and they'd intercepted me before I could get a cup of tea in the terminal. So my response was a very grumpy, what, other than my hangover? They let me go eventually. Oh, wow. In 2014, Scott got engaged. And his wedding to Karen was scheduled for New Year's Eve. This was just as I was finishing grad school, and I decided this would be a great time to have a holiday with my then boyfriend. We planned a 2-week holiday to Canada and then Disneyland. But when we got to the baggage carousel in Canada, I remember looking at him and thinking, I don't want you here. This relationship is over.
Was it a rough plane ride?
Burn. Such a burn. Awkward. Squeams, please note, when you're in the middle of a breakup, Disneyland is not the happiest place on earth. The whole trip was miserable. I was drunk off my ass the entire time rather than deal with the reality of my relationship breaking down. And within half an hour of making it back to Australia, I had all of my stuff packed in a car and never spoke to him again. So she drank her way through Disney World.
Damn.
Wow.
That's actually not hard to do, but yeah.
Wow. I can just imagine her tipsy on the It's a Small World After All, right?
Ooh, it hurl.
No kidding. I moved back to our islands shortly after that. So when Jess got engaged to Noah in July this year, I was A, really happy for her, and B, looking forward to having a really good trip to Canada. Probably
third time's a charm.
Like, for once. I swear to God, we're a good place to visit, okay? I figured the wedding would be next year, so I'd have time to save up and save my leave from work to do a nice long holiday visiting a bunch of North American friends. Nope, the wedding is this October. They announced this in late July, so like no time to do anything.
Ooh, yikes.
And my cousin specifically invites my step-grandmother, Heidi. My dad's parents got divorced and remarried in the early 80s. So my cousins and I grew up with four grandparents on that side of the family. Heidi is the last one left, and Jess has always been really fond of her. I'm far less fond of Heidi. When I was breaking up with an abusive boyfriend, she told me that my generation makes too much of a fuss and that we should just learn to deal with the things like her generation did.
Oh, wow. Oh, boy.
Yikes. I did deal with it by dumping his ass and getting a full PhD scholarship in Australia, therefore having an excuse to leave the country and my family for 5 years. Hey, do what you got to do.
Yep.
You'd think Heidi would be proud of her youngest granddaughter getting her doctorate, but no. About a month before I defended my thesis, she asked me when I was going to give up this silly university business and get married because I was getting too old and ugly to marry rich.
Oh,
yikes. She also makes a habit of jabbing me whenever she sees me and pointing out how fat I am and how cheap the fabric of my clothes feel. As a result, I'm not a fan of this woman and I avoid her whenever possible.
Oh, my. OK.
I can't imagine why.
Grandma Heidi needs to get the stick out of her ass.
Yes, she does. When Jess and Noah's wedding date is announced, it turns out my parents are going to be in Norway on a business trip that weekend. I'm the only grandchild left in our country, though I live on a different island than my family lives on because I'm not insane. So mom turned to me. The following is our email chain. Can we like go back and forth, Rebecca, and read this?
Yeah.
The way we do in our voices. I love. That's way too much fun. Okay. I'm going to be me and you be mom. I like when you're okay. Mom because of how you read that last story we did. It was really funny.
If Heidi can go, how do you feel about traveling together?
I prefer to travel on my own. Looking at my leave balance, it might be a pretty quick trip. A polite lie. I have plenty of leave.
Okay. I will have a chat with Rachel and see how she feels about Heidi coming over. I feel in some ways Heidi may be an unwanted additional stress to Rachel's life when it will already be stressful as mother of the bride for Jess. It would be fun to be a fly on the wall.
I think the mother has a little bit of drama zest in her there.
Right?
Given how stressful Scott's wedding turned out to be with my ex in tow, I was really hoping that Jess's wedding would be unstressful. So let me know what Rachel says. Then again, I wasn't planning on a North American trip until I was in my house, as that's what all my savings and leave are currently being banked for. Another polite lie. My savings are pretty solid.
If you go, you would be representing our family. So it is only fair that our family pays.
Fuck, I'm out of excuses. So I have to dress nicely and can't get sloppy drunk and start a fight. Darn. And with that, it's decided that I am escorting my grandma to Canada for my cousin's wedding. My mom books flights for me and grandma, and I realize the date of the wedding means I'll have to pull out of my first gymnastics meet. I started gymnastics a few years ago when I turned 30, and it's super fun. That is so fucking cool.
What?
Oh, I love her.
Oh, you're my hero. That's amazing.
That is incredible. Which turns out to be a bit of a scramble, but I get it done. Then the news comes out. It's going to be an intimate alternative ceremony at my aunt and uncle's house. There's room for 50 guests and no cousins are invited.
Oh, shit.
I start to wonder if my duties have just been reduced to get grandma to Canada, hand her over to the relatives, and then have a nice holiday. I think that would be like the perfect thing for her to do.
Yeah.
Mom and dad have changed their plans. So they're returning home from Norway via Canada to collect grandma. They're like, throw her on the wing. So I just have to get her over there. And then I travel home on my own. This is not acceptable to my mom, though, who emails Rachel and Jess and demands an invite for me.
Oh, no.
Fun. I hurriedly email Jess and apologize for my mother's rudeness. I reiterate that it's her wedding and she can invite who she wants. And if anything, could I please come to the brunch the next morning? I figure that's when Scott and Brandon's kids will be in attendance, not at the ceremony, and I'm looking forward to meeting them. I'm clear that since spaces are tight, I'm happy not to be invited if she wants to invite some of her friends over me. That is super cool, by the way. Mm-hmm. My aunt emails back. It's Rachel here, probably speaking out of turn, but I don't think so. I'm sure it's fine to be a family rep for your parents and escort Heidi. It's unfortunate. It's a very small, unconventional wedding held upstairs in the games room. There is seating for maybe 50. With immediate family and their closest friends, it's full, and that's why no cousins decision. Even my brother is not getting invited at this point. I double down on my offer to not actually attend the ceremony, but Jess gives in to the pressure of my aunt and mother and adds me to the list as grandma's plus one. Nothing better than being Heidi's date. And then I get a call from my mom in late August. She's at the hospital with Heidi. Heidi has leg pain and chest pain with radiation to her jaw and down her arm. The doctors suspect either pulmonary embolus or an acute cardiac event. The wedding is 7 weeks away.
Uh-oh.
It's going to happen.
Oh, Heidi. Not looking good.
Come back next week for part two of the Canadian wedding saga. Thank you so much for sending that in. If you have any crazy true wedding stories or bachelorette, bachelor party stories, anything really that you think will, you know, light us up, make us happy. Send it to us. secretlifeofweddings@gmail.com.
Woop woop. Ready for another story?
Always.
Yeah. We have another listener story because, you know, we have a lot of those.
Can I just say, Rebecca, before we jump in? I am in awe of how often my phone goes off and I see these amazing emails coming in from people. It is so cool to read. I'm a fan of the podcast. I laugh. I listen.
Yeah.
Here's a story. I don't care if you just want to say hi. Drop us an email. Like, I have the best time seeing your notes come in. It seriously puts a smile on my face every day. So,
yeah,
again,
it does.
If you just want to say hi,
it's awesome.
It's all on Rebecca to reply to you, but I get to read them. secretlifeofweddings@gmail.com.
I'm getting around to replies.
Rebecca,
sorry.
No pressure whatsoever. She is doing her best, people.
It's a lot, man.
She is.
And I'm in like the middle of like super busy. I'm so swamped with work right now.
Dude, if you know anything about wedding photographers and portrait photographers, like fall is the worst. Mm-hmm. It is the worst. I once shared a meme, said something like October for wedding photographers or for photographers in general is like spring for accountants.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Lisa can attest I've been super busy for the past few months.
Oh, yeah.
I've been swamped.
You are, but every weekend you're shooting.
Yeah, even during the week. Like I was shooting yesterday too, and now I'm just like in editing abyss right now.
Yep. I mean, the upside of that, lots of podcast listening.
Yes. Yes.
Get to catch up on those bad boys.
They should make an app that you can listen to your emails and reply to them.
That probably just exists with Siri at this point.
Yeah, true. Okay.
I love my engagement ring, but I always wanted a bigger stone. I started looking at diamonds. It was going to cost us like $12,000 to $15,000. I always just assumed that I would buy diamond everything. But after looking into it and comparing diamond versus moissanite, I was absolutely blown away by how much more fire and sparkle the moissanite had than the diamond. Charles and Colvard created moissanites are the best in the market with their brand Forever One. They are totally unparalleled.
We got some amazing earrings from these guys.
They gave us the most beautiful 1-carat moissanite stud earrings. I wore them to a meeting. I felt gorgeous.
I'm wearing them cleaning my house.
She's like mopping.
I'm all about these babies.
All Charles and Colvard jewelry is made with 95% recycled precious metals. I also love that I can wear these moissanite stones without feeling guilty. They're totally conflict-free. Unlike diamonds, moissanite
Bentonite is one of the rarest minerals in the world, so you can't actually mine it. You have to create it in a lab. And despite being so rare, it is way more affordable than diamonds. The difference in price seriously allows you to put that towards like a honeymoon or a down payment on your first house.
Learn more and get 20% off with our special listener offer at charlesandcolvard.com/secretlife. That's charlesandcolvard.com/secretlife.
Anyways, listener story. Hello, I'm a big fan of the podcast, so I thought I would submit a ridiculous story that happened to me. My friend, let's call her Amal, had just gotten engaged. Now, I should tell you some background information. My dad is a clergyman, and he helps refugees that have just arrived in the country. Amal was from a family he was helping, and that's how we met.
So he's like a real jerk, is what I'm getting from yeah. the story.
She stayed with my family for months because of family problems after her mom had passed away. Hmm. She was in a relationship with a guy in another state. We all discouraged her from being in this relationship. Discouraged her from being in this relationship.
Relationship. Do you think that's a typo or was that like a subtle passive aggressive?
That's
jab?
A passive aggressive. Oh, yeah.
It had to be.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, if you're in a bad relationship, it's now a relationship.
Yes, because the guy was an abusive asswipe. Definitely relationship she met.
Yeah.
So naturally, they got engaged. Now, Amal is Muslim, so they don't really do bridesmaids, but the bride always has friends around her to do functions with, especially since many weddings in their country are gender segregated. This I know. I've shot a lot of these.
Mm-hmm.
This story is going to be about the circus shit show engagement party we attended and how we got uninvited from the wedding. Amal, her sister, and I went to every shop in our state looking for the perfect engagement dress for her. We finally found a beautiful pink gown that she adored. So she called her fiance to wire her the money and he shot it completely down. In their culture, the fiance pays for all wedding expenses. Okay, that I didn't know.
No.
The reason he did not want it was because it was not red. Apparently, she had to wear red just because her engagement party was on Valentine's Day. Why were we not informed of this before we got blisters on our feet? Who the fuck knows? She agrees without argument and tells us we need to find a different dress. I am annoyed at this moment, but figure that we need to move on and keep looking because we are running out of time. Amal suddenly stops being picky and decided on a $50 dress from Macy's is now acceptable. This dress is not even appropriate for homecoming. I could see her belly button through it.
Oh, no.
I calmly tell her to reconsider, and she does. We find a dress only 5 minutes later that is fine, and I thank the gods of feet that we could go home. The next week, her soon-to-be mother-in-law shows up and tells her that there is no way that this dress will fit a fat girl like her. Amal is a size 6, not fat.
Oh.
That's totally besides the point. No one should be saying that to her, but...
No kidding.
My mom, her sister, and I keep trying to convince this girl to run as fast as possible to no avail.
Mm.
The day of the engagement comes, and we all... Amal, my mom, her sister, and I go to the beauty salon to get all our hair and makeup done. It is a blizzard outside, so after we are done, we want to go back home. We pull into the car because the salon is now closed and Amal refuses to go back home, insisting that her fiancé has to pick her up from the salon, even though our house is literally 2 minutes from there. We are forced to wait in the freezing cold in an unheated car for 45 minutes until the prince shows up with his brothers to pick her and her sister up because, God forbid, he picks her up from our house. Now, I started getting suspicious at this moment because I had a sense that we were being lied to, but my mother would just not hear me out. My mother and I had just spent around $600 on our dresses, hair, and makeup because Amal insisted that this party is a fully formal event and we wanted to look nice since her mom had passed and her dad had gone overseas. We were almost her substitute family for the evening and my mom wanted everything to be perfect for Amal. We were given the address of the hotel where the wedding was to take place. It was in a nice hotel, so we assumed everything was going fine. Her fiancé and his family had chosen the venue and set everything up for the party, and we were going to be there to support her. When we arrive at the party, we realize that the venue is a 30-seat conference room. The table had been moved to the wall of the room and takeout from the local Mideastern fast food restaurant was placed on it in aluminum trays covered in saran wrap. Now, I am not one to judge budgeting limitations, but it seemed that we spent more on our attire than her engineer fiance had spent on the entire event.
Wow.
The guests from her side of the family were dressed like they just came from the flea market. Again, not judging, money limitation, but these people are not poor, and we were told we had to dress formally because it was a very nice fancy party. Her mother-in-law's hair was dyed orange.
She's like, separate fact, but just thought it should be said.
She obviously had meant to go blonde, but decided to DIY it and failed miserably, but was not at all bothered by it. Her brother came wearing his overalls from work and sat in the lobby staring down all the guests without greeting anyone. We were all ushered to take pictures with someone's smartphone.
Okay, I'm out. I'm officially out. Nope.
And someone complimented me on my dress. Amal started looking at me with a fuck you face, and I questioned what was going on. She told me that I was trying to take away the spotlight from her because my hair and dress looked better. Oh, my God.
Whoa. So Amal the bride, actually.
Yeah.
She deserves these people. What the fuck?
Oh, I disregarded her comment and comment simply because the day turned out really badly, I thought, and she was probably very stressed out. I just quietly sat at our table while she shot me angry glances from the sweethearts table where her future mother-in-law decided to join them.
Oh, that's really, really, really romantic.
It was time to cut the cake, and I was still naively expecting a 2 or 3 tier cake that everyone would eat from. Of course, her mother-in-law had picked the cake. It was a heart-shaped pink grocery store cake that would feed about 10 people.
Oh, wow.
Keep in mind, there are about 50 people at this event. The mother-in-law proceeds to cut the cake herself and licks the knife to everyone's horror.
Oh, no.
She gives a piece of the future bride and groom and asks if anyone would like any. The room goes silent, so she takes the cake, closes it, again, it's from the grocery store, and says that she's going to save it for her kids, 3 men all over 25 years old.
Red flag.
Oh, at this point, we all just want to leave, and we make a polite but hasty retreat towards our car and face the blizzard gladly.
Jesus. Just, right? I'm done.
I did not see Amal for the next few days because she had gone home to prepare for her henna, a sort of Middle Eastern bachelorette party, which is usually at the bride's house. We show up to this party and Amal is completely distant. She does not say 2 words to us the entire night. We sit there very uncomfortable, and I have a conversation with her sister who reveals that we are not invited to the wedding, and we never were.
So wait, just to clarify, they didn't already, I know, because this is like a South Asian kind of thing.
Yeah.
They had an event. So they, I thought that was the wedding that they were at.
No, that was the engagement party. So they do the engagement party and then they do the henna night and then they do the wedding.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Apparently, Amal hid our existence from the groom's family and told them that we were family friends that she barely knew. The only person that was invited to her wedding was her sister. The reason she didn't want to be picked up from our house is because she did not want the groom to know about our existence. She needed us for rides to beauty shops, the mall, and the slum, but our work was basically done. We left the henna party in shocked silence, and I vowed never to help anyone I did not trust again. Of course, I could not stop my mom from repeating the same mistake with Amal's sister, but that's another story. Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's so fucking shitty.
That was like a Hitchcock twist. Like, I didn't see it coming where she was going to be the bad guy. I totally thought it was going to be the fiance.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well written.
Yes. Congratulations.
You had us on the hook with the fiance.
Dude, major red herring type situation happening there.
Wow.
That was absolutely incredible. I just want to take a really super quick moment to thank our Patreon and Flick Chat premium members. This week, Yamuna M, Casey S, Grace B, and Anna O. They went to patreon.com/secretlifeofweddings to get more episodes. Okay, thank you so much. You can also go to Flick Chat and choose to be a premium member there. Check our links in the show notes for both options, whichever suits you, baby, whatever you want to do.
Thanks, y'all.
Thank you. Let's hit up some double D's before we check out for this week. I've been seeing a lot of double D's come in from listeners and emails.
Oh, yeah. 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 So I can't go back and forth anymore because I got to fit these in.
Okay. So it's like it's funny. You think divorce is the shit show of society, yet dating apparently craps over everything 10 times.
Yes. More. Yes, it does.
Right? There are 10 times more, 100 times more shit show dating stories than there are shit show divorce stories, I think.
Yeah.
So I'd say we're in need of some divorce stories. So if you send us some.
If you got one, send me one.
If you got one, send it. SecretLifeOfWeddings@gmail.com. Hey, ladies, remembered the story of my number one weirdest date ever the other day and thought you might be able to make use of it for the double D's. No need to make me anonymous if you do. This was like 10 years ago. So I was probably about 20 at the time and I was using OkCupid to meet guys. I met this guy for coffee about 45 minutes from home. The coffee date went really well. He was extremely cute, charming, and fun. Just a really magnetic personality who did things like strike up a conversation with the elderly couple at the table next to us and befriend a stranger with a cute dog so we could go outside and play fetch. Needless to say, I was very intrigued. Since we were having so much fun together, we naturally wanted to keep the date going. What was supposed to be a quick afternoon coffee turned into a stroll through a cemetery and then a jam session. I had brought my guitar. Natch. He told me I should, quote, bring my guitar and my pretty face to his party next week, and I delightedly accepted. We still didn't want to end the date, so he invited me to his house to make homemade falafel. We spent some time in his sauna, wearing only towels. Some light kissing occurred, but he kept his hands to himself. What a gentleman. This is like accomplishing a lot.
Yeah.
For a first date. This is crazy.
Yeah.
After that, his cousin came over and he asked me to stay and see a movie in town with them, which I did. I'm thinking, wow, what an amazing first date. This really feels like the start of something special. I can't wait to hang out with him again. After the movie, we were saying our goodbyes and he hits me with this line. So today was amazing. I'm so excited to have met you. I actually have an amazing girlfriend who I love, but I think you're looking like the awesome female friend I've been looking for.
Curveball.
Whoa.
What?
He said, this is next level. He said they made out. What the fuck? They made out in a sauna.
Oh my God.
Wow. I got a lot of problems with this one, Rebecca. He said this with total enthusiasm, as though it wasn't a completely insane thing to say to someone you've just had an 8-hour date with and kissed in your sauna. I was so caught off guard that I kind of went, oh, cool. Yeah, totally. And got in my car and left. I still wish I'd had the presence of mind to tell him how fucking weird that was. I never texted him again. So sadly, I never got to meet his, quote, amazing girlfriend. I hope he found the awesome female friend he was looking for. Massive eye roll. Peace. Oh my God. So much wrong.
I feel like he was bullshitting.
Really?
Yeah.
So you think there was no girlfriend?
No.
You think it was just he was looking for a way out?
Yeah.
Wouldn't he just ghost her at that point?
I think he was, and not a way out, I think he was looking to keep her around without having to commit to her.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Like some selfish.
I could
selfish,
be wrong, but yeah.
Yeah, some selfish alternative.
Yes.
Essentially, that only made sense to him in the moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, good luck with all that. You're better than that. And I think you know that.
Yes.
Thank you so much for sending your story. That was absolutely
amazing.
amazing. Absolutely amazing. So I feel like before we go, I just want to check in with you super quick. I feel like so much has happened since we talked last on the podcast, because like you went to Atlanta.
I did, yes.
Like, do you understand? We haven't even talked on the podcast since you went to Atlanta.
I know. Crazy. And you I feel like that's already old news.
I know. It's just been one of those weeks, guys, where there's so much going on that me and Rebecca have been talking about 10 different things.
Yeah.
Since then.
Yeah.
I have a hilarious story about something that happened to Justin.
What's that?
At work. This is
great. I'm glad you remembered, because I forgot already.
I didn't do the thing. I was supposed to write my initials or something on a piece of paper. Let's do that on the Patreon or something. Or we'll do it. You know what? We'll do it next week.
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently, Rebecca's going to know a thing if I write like a certain way. So don't forget.
Yeah.
Because I want to know what it means about me. So something hilarious happened to Justin. So he's adorable. I think my husband's adorable. He's got dimples. He's blonde. He's super cute. Okay. So I'm always like joking with Justin.
Yeah.
Oh, who hit on you today? Come on. Someone must have hit on you, you know? And he's like, nobody hits on me. You know, he's like the guy with the ring on his finger. Right. But anyway, so he's at work. He's got gloves on or whatever. He's talking to a customer. He comes home the other day. He goes, so what happened? I said, what happened? He goes, I got hit on today. I said, shut up.
Nice.
Come tell me about it. What happened? Like, I'm just so entirely amused, right?
Yeah.
So he's so insanely lovely and dedicated in our marriage that like, it's just the last thing I'm worrying about. So I'm hilariously amused by this. So I'm like, okay, so, like what happened? So he goes, and he's just embarrassed. When it actually happens, he's the type you'll say to him, I'll say to him, you're so cute. He'll be like, fine, go away. Like,
yeah.
He won't take a compliment, right?
Yeah.
These two women come up to him. Or they're nearby him or whatever, and he's working. He hears the one say to the other, I guess they're a little older. Okay. So we're like, what, mid-30s? I think they're in their late 30s, early 40s or something. One goes to the other, yeah, he is cute. And then she says something to him like, I love your dimples, you know? And apparently, like, she was, like, motioning to the dimples on his face enough that, like, his coworker was watching this in the back room on the security camera with no sound and texted him immediately and went, they like the dimples, huh? Like,
that's so funny.
It was that obvious. He's got adorable dimples. My mom, she knew him years ago. She used to call him Dimples as a joke.
Yeah.
He's got these adorable dimples. Anyway, he's like, thanks. Okay, whatever. Like he can't take a compliment in the first place, let alone combine it with this awkward, like, oh my God, these older women are hitting on me kind of thing. So then the one woman goes, you're perfect, except you need a tan. And then she goes,
what the fuck?
My name's Tanya.
Oh, wow. That's a whole level of cheese I can't even unpack.
He goes, he doesn't get it. And he goes, oh, yeah, okay, bye.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, that's the whole. And then they walked out. And he sees these people a lot at his job, too. So, like, this is not a one-time, like, he will probably see these people again.
Ah, that's funny.
All week, I have been saying to him, like, hey, want me to tan ya? Wow. And he didn't even get it at the point. And then he was like, oh, because he told his coworker who had been watching on the security camera about the dimples, you know, and she goes, oh, my God, I can't believe she said that.
That's hilarious.
It was quite funny. So
that's awesome.
I can laugh at that because
it's not often women pull out those cheesy lines.
No kidding. Right.
It's usually
dudes at bars. And I'm like usually really, really admiring of that. Like, I think those pickup lines are like hilarious.
Yeah.
They are the shit.
That's funny.
Yeah. And
I like it.
Also, random Jill moment. I have nothing to tie this to, but I think I'll make mention of it anyway. It's, you know how you have like a weird memory and you're just like, I wanted to mention that on the show.
Yeah.
Jill, the other day we were walking home and she goes, oh, I was so mad. I was angrier than a hippo that got punched. And I was like, what? What, child? What?
It's so weird.
Oh my God. Oh,
and super creepy thing she did. This is the thing. My child, I love her, but sometimes she'll say something to me and I'm like, I'm sorry, where did you get that? Listen to this. So I know you don't watch horror movies, but you've seen It, right?
No.
You've never
seen the original.
Yes, yeah. The original.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand the storyline about It. My daughter, I'd like to clarify, is 5 freaking years old. There's no way in hell she has heard about It. She understands. She's not been exposed to this movie. We don't watch this in our house. She has no way of knowing what this is. So the other night she wakes up and she's crying and Justin pokes me and wakes me up because I'm the worst. Like I'll sleep through her crying. And yeah. He goes, she's been calling for you. I said, oh, okay. So I get up and she goes, oh, I had a bad dream. So I get in bed with her and I give her a cuddle. So the next day I pick her up from school because her dad takes her to school and I say, hey, like, what's up? And, you know, I said, so you had a bad dream last night. What was that about? And we're walking away from the kindergarten pen. And she goes, yeah. I said, what was it about? Do you remember? And she goes, yeah, I was in our house and I was alone. And her brother Liam is a couple years older, right? So she's like, I went outside to look for Liam because he went outside. And he was calling me and he was, what did she say? He was in the vent outside.
Oh my God.
And she's like, it was raining or something like that. And he was calling me. And so I had to get in and go underneath and go to him. And then there was a bad man in the vent.
Oh my God.
And I went, do you mean like a sewer? She goes, yeah. He was calling me. And I said, she goes, I'm mad at him now. Because it was his it was his fault that I went in the dream. And I went,
aww.
Oh, my God, did he look like Tim Curry? Because I am terrified right now. And you just described It. Like, how did my child describe It to me from a dream? That freaked me right out. I was like, no, thank you. Nope.
No.
We're just going to tap out right now.
Not down with that.
No, we're not. I know how much you love horror stuff, so.
No, I don't like horror stuff.
Well, we got Halloween coming up, so, you know, I had to, like, drop a little bit of spooky. But it happened, and I told Justin, I was like, you know what your daughter just did? This is kind of fucked up. You tell me if you have any insight. He didn't, so we have no idea. Like, you know, normally with kids, as you know, as a mom, you could be like, oh, they watched that movie. Or... yeah. That TV show or that cartoon, there was nothing. So that was a weird one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird. Creepy.
So good night, everybody. But yeah, no, Atlanta was good. Like you went to like an Alice in Wonderland kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, I did.
We didn't talk about this. Can you give me just a quick lowdown? You did share some photos on your Instagram stories or something, but I saw a couple. They were super cool.
Yeah. So I flew in. I dropped my bag at the hotel and I went to the Atlanta Botanical Gardens because they had an Alice in Wonderland themed exhibit. So it was everything like Alice in Wonderland, all plants, right? So it was really cool.
It looked cool to see. Edward Scissorhands had been let loose in that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like it was really impressive.
Yeah, it was really cool. I highly recommend going to see that, even if it's a different exhibit because it's just so well done.
Is it permanent or is it?
No, it's done the end of October. So I think the 27th. So if you're in Atlanta, go check it out. It's pretty cool. And then I went to the Coca-Cola Museum right after. I literally had 4 hours to myself and I just fucking ran with it. Like I tried to fit this stuff in.
Good for you.
And then I had to work. But
I'd be like, I'll be in bed having a nap.
Yeah. Then I went to the Coca-Cola Museum, which was really cool too. And then I went to the hotel and I was there the rest of the time.
Yeah. You were super busy. She podcasts and met some amazing women.
I did. Met some great people and it went really well.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you're home safe. I'm glad you know, you flew and nothing went wrong because, you know, I know you don't love flying. So.
Yeah. And a dude took my seat, which I wasn't happy about because, you know, I booked a window seat and he was sitting there and I'm like, kind of like, oh, that's my seat.
Why didn't you kick him out?
I don't know. I'm too nice.
Oh, honey.
And you know what? He fucking owes me too, because there was a kid behind me again. And
oh, no.
This kid kicked my seat the whole flight. And I've now decided that there should be adult-only flights. I'm sorry, people
yes.
with kids. I have three kids, though, so I... No,
I have two, and I am on board for this, so there is no excuses.
Like, for real, because yeah. I was losing my fucking mind. I was like, oh my God, seriously.
I would turn around and talk to the parents. Like, that is who I am. I also would have kicked yeah. that guy out of my motherfucking seat, because that is my seat.
I know.
This is why you have to travel with me. Do you understand?
I know, but I'm all night. I was like, he knows that's not his seat. Like, it says right on my ticket that I have a window seat. So, whatever.
See, if he was like the seat right next to you, you could kick him out and then give him shifty side eyes the whole rest of the flight. Really judgy.
Yeah.
You know? When they come around and offer you pretzels, you could be like, oh, what, do you want those too? You want to take mine too? Okay.
Oh my
God. Super passive aggressive.
Yeah, there you go.
It'd be really good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for hanging out with us this week on the Secret Life of Weddings podcast, guys. It's been amazing. And Rebecca?
Anything can happen at weddings.
And we will be here to tell you all about it.
Well, that's it for us this week on the Secret Life of Weddings podcast. If you need more drama in your life, go over to patreon.com/secretlifeofweddings to sign up for additional weekly episodes. The first few episodes are free, so go check it out, patreon.com/secretlifeofweddings, and we will see you here next week.